Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, are basements the hiding places for the dead? Do ghosts like basements because it's a place they can be alone and at peace? Or do some ghosts like the basements because it's where they can find their victims all alone? Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, why is it that ghosts seem to like the basement?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, with your real ghost stories. We would love to hear them. And of course, this is a listener-supported show, so if you like it, $5 a month is all we ask. And for that $5, you can get yourself 260-some juicy, delicious episodes of Real Ghost Stories Online, EPP bonus episodes. They are bursting with country fresh flavor. That's at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You also get advanced episodes of the program, and there's a lot of other extras there as well. It's a way of saying thank you for keeping us on the air. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you once again, and how are you doing this fine day?
Well, I was fine until I heard that damn intro.
The basement stuff?
What, do you have to go to the basement? I record this in the basement.
Oh, yeah, you are. You're in the basement right now.
I mean, like, that was terrifying, Tony.
Turn the lights
You're
off.
You're, like, talking about the victim all alone in the basement. And I'm like, it's just me and my dog.
Do ghosts like to go after women that are recording podcasts in their basement all alone on a stormy night?
With a senior dog who can't protect them.
We'll let you decide. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah, that was kind of terrifying. So go ahead.
Didn't even think of that.
Terrify me.
There you go. I got something terrifying for you.
What?
So over the weekend, when I'm recording this, this would have been several weeks ago by the time this airs, but went to Lexington, Kentucky, and did a show.
Oh, that's right. You had the big podcast there.
With the Hillbilly Horror Stories. Prince. And the event was great. Seeing Jerry and Tracy was great. All of the listeners had showed up great. And the event itself, I'm happy I made it. But it was like planes, trains, and fucking automobiles.
No.
Oh, my God.
It was a payback for you doing yours in Eureka Springs. And
was
all the
just
people who had,
so easy.
Had to do that to get there.
Oh, my God. I was at one point at a ticket counter getting a rental car going, this is kind of like planes, trains, and automobiles for me this weekend. Would you mind if I just like said, I want my fucking car and my and just and she laughed, you know. Thankfully I didn't get kicked out, or I didn't get told, well, you're fucked, like the woman in that movie. But oh my God. So first off, here's the scary part, and this is one of the more disturbing ones. You know when you just get a feeling, like, there, I didn't know what the feeling was, but I just all week leading up to going, I didn't have any weird feeling about the event or seeing everybody. It was more so just like getting there is not going to work out well. And I don't know why I felt that way. I didn't even know we were going to be flying into storms. But I just kind of had this feeling that it was going to be like, I don't know. But it's like, you know, I'm committed to this. I am, you know, it wasn't like I'm just going to go. I'm not just going for a visit where to them I could say, hey, let's just do this over Skype instead. You know, it was, you know, people came from other places too, so I'm not the only one who, you know, made a trek to get in. I just had that feeling the whole time. So get on the flight, and here's what was one of the more disturbing things to me, and I haven't flown in probably about 3 or 4 years. And I don't know if it was just the plane I was on, but have like standards gone down in 3 or 4 years of like commercial airlines in terms of the upkeep of the airplanes? I'm asking because
I think it would depend on what airline, perhaps.
Well, it's one that's named after the country that we live in. And and I'm like thinking, I mean, it wasn't like a super, you know, cheap ticket either. I mean, it was like, it was a normal ticket. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like a discount airline. But I get on the plane and I'm like, oh my God, I mean, like all of this, so many of the seats were kind of like ripped up, and you sit down and I mean, the size has not changed. It's still, you're crammed in there like sardines, but like the like magazine thing in the front of your seat, that's all kind of like coming off and broken. And just like, okay, well, this was, must be an old plane, you know, maybe we're at the end of its life. And then I went to use the restroom and we're still on the ground. I just wanted to get in there quick before we moved or taxied. And, you know, where now after 9/11, you know, I remember when this was new, where they would put all of those seal markers over things that could possibly be tampered with. So you knew, oh, okay, this has not been tampered with. And there's a sticker here and there's a band here. Everything that could have been fucking tampered with had been tampered with. Like the seals are broken. And it's like, apparently we don't care about this anymore either. And I'm just thinking, should I say something about the tamper marks on everything in the bathroom? They got to be aware of this. And if I say something, then that probably goes onto a record somewhere, and then it'll probably ground us. And I really can't afford to get grounded because I got a tight connection. So I'm like, okay, they're aware. This is me just being me going, this is whatever. So take off. I mean, the flight was okay until we don't land in the city we're supposed to land in. I end up in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Was there any warning en route?
Not until it was like, oh, there's some storms and we're going to circle around for a few minutes. So an hour later, we've been instructed to land in Greensboro because we're almost out of fuel. And I'm just like, oh, shit. Okay, wrong city and we're almost out of fuel. Not something you really want to hear when you're in the air. So we landed. Thank God. I was just happy we landed. And then get off the plane. No real instruction. Like they're like, okay, we're in the plane now. Like nobody said, hey, go to this counter or that counter to figure out what you're going to do next, considering nobody's supposed to be here. And every counter I went to try and get information, they were all far too busy to talk to me. Not that there was a line and I had to wait in line. They just blatantly refused to talk to me. They're just like, we're too busy with this paperwork over here, sir. I can't help you right now. Like just blatant. And then one of them was, you know, one of my other pet peeves with customer service is when there's a human being standing in front of you, that person takes priority over your phone call. Well, that is clearly out the window now, too. So phone calls are getting answered left and right. I halfway thought about just calling. Just like
I have been at the airport where people called while they're in line and got through faster.
I was trying that, but there was like a 30-minute wait. So I was waiting on that, but I thought about, can I just like call down to this gate and then maybe I can talk to the person at the gate on the phone, even though I'm 3 fucking feet away from them? So eventually one person said, okay, I can help you, but I have to finish this up. It'll take me about 5-10 minutes. Keep in mind, you know, we're trying to figure if we're going to get back to our other city to get a connecting flight. And I mean, like in the wrong city right now. So I don't really have 10 minutes for you to finish your paperwork. But I didn't say that. I'm like, OK, thank you. And eventually you're not going to get a flight out of here tonight. That's for sure. So where do I go? I'll go back that way and I have to go back out of security and then go back to the main ticket gate where they had one person working. One person for an entire deplaned flight of people trying to figure out what the hell they're supposed to do or get a hotel voucher or whatever. So an hour and a half later, I get that. And by the way, they also thought it'd be a great idea at that moment in time to start training someone new. As everyone at 10 o'clock at night is trying to just get the hell out of there or figure out what they're going to do. Hey, let's do the trainee program and teach them how to use the basics of the computer. So this will take 10 times longer than it should. It's like, okay, my stress and anxiety are just like through the roof. So I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to do? And like, well, your next flight can get on here. And keep in mind, it's like about 10:30, 10:45 now. And I'm finding out, well, the next possible flight is going to be at 6:30 in the morning. So get back to the airport. That's maybe 3 hours of sleep. And I have to be, you know, kind of coherent tomorrow on the next day on stage. So I'm like, that's not going to be an option. I can't only get 3 hours of sleep and then hope that my next connecting flight makes it, considering there's more storms coming through and there's no direct flights to the city I'm supposed to go to. So I had to do another connector if I was going to do it. So I said, you know what? Fuck it. And I went and rented a car.
I was thinking that. How long did it take you to drive then?
Well, I did stay the night in Greensboro, a lovely town from what I can tell of the hotel next to the airport. And then I drove through the Appalachians and Smoky Mountains the next day. And it took about seven, 8 hours or so to get in. Got in like literally like right before I was supposed to get over and start. So I dropped my stuff off at my hotel, and then the venue was right across the street, got over there, and then jumped up. And we had it was great. I mean, sometimes when you're really super, I think like stressed, or sometimes you can do just your best shows. And that's kind of how I felt. I was just really kind of tight with everything, and kind of things were rolling good. But by the time we were done, I was just, you know, just drained. And today I'm still drained. And then I didn't even take my return flights because I didn't want to get stuck again in another city. And I rented another car and I drove back here and I said, fuck flying. So that was my.
I'm so with you on that, because there's so many times I'm like, because by the time you would have gotten up, gotten to the airport, gotten on a flight, yeah, and then you go to another town and you wait in that airport, then you go, you know, it's going to take you 8 hours. Easy.
Yeah. So I just ended up doing what I contemplated doing to begin with, because at first I thought, well, I'll just drive out there. But it's like, yeah, it's an 8 hour drive. But I thought, you know, I'll just do an airplane. It'll be quicker. No, not at all. But I did get to drive halfway across the United States over the weekend. So that was fun.
Well, you had that.
I've always wanted to see the Appalachians on the ground, and I got to see them. I've seen them from the air, but I've never driven through them. It's a very pretty range. I got to see Virginia, West Virginia, Kentucky, and a beautiful part of the country, I do have to say. Totally unintended.
I just drove through Kentucky, and it was beautiful.
It is. It's a very pretty state.
Yeah.
So anyway, the people where we were at, really, it was a great venue. I have nothing negative to say about our event whatsoever. I mean, they're just, you know, great folks. But oh my God, getting there, that was an adventure.
So. I could not travel for a living. That would drive me crazy.
No, I don't. I think, I mean, and that's why we drive most places as a family, because I couldn't imagine doing that with the kids. And it's just like, yeah, this is why I don't fly. And I hope there's not much flying in my future, but I don't know. Inevitably, there always is with stuff. But that was my weekend. And now I'm here.
Sometimes it works and it's great. And yeah. Then other times, that's what happens.
When it's direct,
it's like a crapshoot.
When it's direct, it's great. But it's like, it's slim to nil that it's ever a direct flight. So anywho, that's how I'm doing. 855-853-4802. Is our phone number.
Now let's terrify Carol and talk about ghosts in the basement.
Talk about freaky shit in the basement. Dear Tony and Carol, I'm in my basement. As you may know, basements are haunted. All of them are haunted, especially basements where women do podcasts alone by themselves with elderly pets. Oh, wait, that's the wrong letter. Here's this one. Hey guys, I've been a listener for a month now, and so far I love your show, becoming an EPP. Anywho, to start off my story, I can't really remember how old I was, but I was about 11 or 12 at the time, and I stayed up late while my parents and my sister were asleep. I was up late watching TV while my sister was asleep downstairs in the living room, and my parents were asleep in their room. Now, in my house during nighttime, the house gets dark in the hallways. You usually need to turn the lights on to see. So it was about 2 a.m. at that time, and I was lying in my bed with the door closed when suddenly I hear the faucet in the bathroom next door turn on. Now, I thought it was my sister who was using it, so I thought nothing of it. I didn't really get spooked out until it was about 5 minutes later, and the faucet was still on, and there was no light beaming underneath my door. At this point, I was scared, and I'm not very sensitive to the paranormal as my mother is. I've seen or heard things, but that's really it. But when I know something isn't right, I just know. So I finally had the courage to get out and check out why the faucet had turned on, and I see nothing outside my door. Just my parents' door open. TV on while they're asleep, and my sister, same as my parents, asleep with the TV on, and the TV was beaming some light into the hallway, so I was able to see to a certain extent. I went ahead into the bathroom, turned off the faucet, and thought it was my sister who just came upstairs and forgot to turn it off. So I thought, what an idiot. But as soon as I turn around, I see this tall black shadow walk out of my parents' room and walk towards the staircase. Now, the shadow was darker than the darkness in the hallway, if that makes any sense. Looked about 6 feet tall or more, and I couldn't see its face, but when it was walking out of my parents' room, I could just tell it was looking at me because its head was turned to me. And I was watching it walk towards the staircase. I was completely frozen at the time. I wasn't able to move or say anything. I felt like I was being held down and my chest was all tight, like I could barely breathe. And even though it was a couple seconds, it felt like it was walking in slow motion, and I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. After it disappeared down the staircase, I ran towards it to see if it was still there or it was my sister playing a prank on me. There was nothing, just my sister snoring on the couch, and I'm thinking, no way my sister would have made it from my parents' room down the steps and fake sleeping on the couch that quick. And the crazy thing is, my mom grew up in California, and this entity or spirit or whatever it is would always visit or attack my mom as a kid. She'd always see it in her doorway back in her old childhood home. Not only would she see it, but my aunt would see it too. And it wasn't as latched onto her as it was to my mom, but she had her experiences. There'd also be nights where my mom would wake up in the middle of the night and she wouldn't be able to breathe, as if someone was pressing down onto her chest. To this day, I haven't really experienced or seen that shadow man, but I do have some other stories about some other experiences. But I'll save those for you for next time. Thoughts?
I do have some thoughts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, why, if that's the same thing that his, was it a guy?
Yeah, I think so. I honestly don't know the answer to that.
Saw, why then, like, that time, why would he see it then? And you know what I mean? Is it just because they choose for you to see them at that time? Or it's like, hey, I'm going to turn the water on.
Like, I don't know.
Because really, turning the water on isn't exactly scary. I guess that would be to get your attention so then he could show himself.
Mm-hmm.
But why? Why then? Why that day?
And that I don't know the answer to. It makes me wonder if sometimes, you know, sometimes you just in life, sometimes you have days where it's like, ah, I'm really feeling like I could go for a run. I have all this energy. I'm gonna do that. And other days, you know, you don't. I never feel that way. But, you know,
I was gonna say, if theory, I did feel like I want to take a run, I would regret it. Yeah. Probably, well, quickly.
In theory, I'm assuming people who run, I'm assuming, feel that way, because I that's my guess.
But
you know, there's days where you have more energy than others, is kind of what I'm getting at. And I'm wondering if that's how it works sometimes for ghosts, where it's like, today I have the ability, I can tell, I'm able to manipulate things out there in the world that the living are in, easier or just at all, and with days, other days I can't. So you can't like really pick and choose that. Oh, a Thursday of October, the second one, that's the day I'm gonna fuck with the water. No, it's just like, oh my god, look, I could tell I manipulated something today. I got to take advantage of this. And it's not really a super rhyme or reason that maybe we think there is to some of these cases where suddenly, you know, a ghost pops up out of nowhere.
Maybe it's like, do you think that ghosts just get bored and it's like, nobody's paying any attention to me?
Yeah.
I've been over here being all shadow like.
I bet.
And nobody cares.
I bet they do.
I'm turning on the damn water now.
I bet, you know, at first it's probably like, if you understand that you're a ghost and you're dead, at first it's got to be really kind of exciting and cool, because it's like, oh my gosh, I can go anywhere. I can go if that's what you're able to do. But then after a while, it's like, yeah, but I can't really manipulate anything, and I'm kind of at the mercy of these living people to like entertain me. And yeah. And then you're going to very quickly get bored with people, and you can't like turn on the TV and manipulate that. Maybe some can, but probably not as easy as you can in life. And yeah, I bet there a lot of things are just out of sheer boredom of like, well, what can I do today? And you figure out, oh, I can manipulate this. I'm going to do that. Freaks the hell out of somebody. That would be exciting and fun, because I bet the novelty does wear off at a certain point.
Especially if you're stuck doing the same crap over and over and over.
Or if you're stuck in the same location, too, with the same, you know, boring people. You're just like...
Right? It's like, okay, his mother is hardly reacting to me at this point.
Yeah.
Because and that is a whole nother thought. Like, why does somebody see the same... Like, I would get seeing dead people more than I would, like, seeing a shadow person. Like, mm-hmm. over and over and over and over and over. It's like, what? What? Let's have a conversation or something.
Sure.
Or leave me alone.
Well, I think it goes back to with a shadow person. That shadow person could be the same, could be a dead person. You know, that's just how they're projecting. That they have no control over how you are seeing them, but that just happens to be how you are seeing them. I think there can be times where somebody will see a shadow person in a room and go, oh my God, a shadow person, and another person who living person who maybe has more sensitivity can actually make out more than the shadow and make out the identity of the person. It just depends on the, you know, basically the level as to what their sensory ability is. So
now you've got me thinking about something else. So maybe the mother isn't exactly seeing the same thing over and over. She could be seeing multiple entities. They just present themselves the same.
Easily. Yep.
Uh-huh.
Definitely.
So I don't know what the hell is up with those people.
Yeah. And that's the answer to your question there, everybody, and the story. What's going on? We don't know.
What the hell? I don't know.
There you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Our next letter, it says, hey guys, just recently found your podcast. Can't stop listening. I have a story that I'm not quite sure qualifies as a ghost story. However, I haven't been able to stop thinking about it since it happened to me almost 3 years ago. I haven't experienced many things that I haven't been able to explain, although I am only 24 or so. There's plenty of time for more things to happen. However, this moment I just have never been able to shake. This is a story that involves my great-grandmother, who had been present throughout my life, but we have never been extremely close. But you could tell the love was there. She'd taken care of my dad a lot when he was little, since my grandma, his mom, was out working a lot, so... My great-grandmother had a strong connection to my dad. Anyway, at the time of this story, my great-grandmother was living in a nursing home and was 102 years old, born in 1916. Ever since she had been moved into a nursing home in her late 90s, I hadn't seen her much, usually only on her birthday or holidays. I always felt kind of guilty about this and wished I would have seen her more when I had gotten older. On this particular day at the beginning of November, I remember this because it happens only a few days before my birthday. I was driving home from college. I took classes in the morning and worked as a housekeeper at the local hospital in the evening, so it was about 11 o'clock in the morning on a beautiful, sunny, fall day. I was just about to drive over the bridge that was over the train yard when a crow flew very close past the windshield of my car. The weird part about this was that when the crow flew by, it was like the world slowed down. It was almost as if everything was in slow motion, especially this crow. On its way past, the crow turned its head and looked right at me. It felt like it was staring me down. But as soon as it looked at me, I got this tightness in my chest and lungs and had this random thought about how I hadn't gone to visit my great-grandma in a while and that I should stop by and see her soon. As soon as the bird flew past and was gone, the world was normal again, and I continued to drive home. I only ever really thought about visiting my great-grandma when my parents would bring it up, so that was kind of rare for me to think about it on my own. I get home shortly after and then go take a nap before I had to be at work by 3. When I woke up around 1, I checked my phone and had a text from my dad. He texted me shortly after I fell asleep and said, "Great grandma isn't waking up. She's still breathing but isn't responsive." My great grandmother passed away the next day around 6 a.m. Obviously, I'm not shocked she died. She was 102, but I can't stop thinking about, is that the moment the crow looked at me? While it was flying so close to my car, I immediately thought about how I should visit my great-grandma instead of, oh God, I'm going to hit that bird. Now I have some sort of odd respect and love for crows that I've never had before. I used to never pay attention to them or notice them, and now I see them everywhere. And my husband has started calling them my little messengers. A little bit of poking fun at me, but all in good humor. Anyway, a few experiences I've had that I haven't been able to explain. Maybe I'll write them again on another episode. Love the show. Keep doing what you're doing. What do you think of the crows?
Well, that is a story I can totally connect to because I've shared it before, but with my grandmother. It wasn't a crow. It was just this overwhelming feeling that I had to go see her.
Mm-hmm.
And she died the next day. So I was listening to that story and I was like, God, that's just, I didn't see a crow or anything. It was just this feeling like overwhelming to where I actually got up and left and drove 80 miles to go see her. It was that kind of overwhelming feeling. But yeah, I definitely think there was more to that. I do. Because my grandmother hadn't passed yet when I had that feeling. I just knew I needed to see her. And I hope, and she didn't exactly make it clear, but I hope that she was able to get to her grandmother mm-hmm. and see her before she passed. And I kind of assumed she had since it was the next day.
Sure.
I hope she did.
I hope so, too. I don't know the answer to that. But
yeah, I mean, always, when you get that feeling, mm-hmm. I should do this or... Sometimes you just get this overwhelming feeling. I'm like, go with it.
Yeah, like don't get on the airplane that's going to land in the wrong city. That's kind of what
drive. Drive. Just drive. Go with your first gut feeling.
I did the rest of the trip, and I'm glad I did because it was right on the rest of it, too, where I would have ended up stuck in Chicago on the way home. So... I did go with it after that. And I don't know if I had not had that feeling the whole week before of just, this is just going to go wrong or like the travel's going to go wrong. I don't know why I didn't listen to it. I guess I'm just not, I don't know. I don't think I listened.
Well, because you probably bought the plane ticket by then.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I've had the plane ticket for a while, but I didn't have the feeling when I bought it. It just really kind of came on towards the end. And I just wrote it off as like, well, you know, I'm an anxious person. I deal with anxiety. I thought it's just that because I haven't flown in how many years and I don't like flying that much. And I thought that's all it is. It's just that. And I just kept telling myself that. But then I kept going back. This is different. It's something feels different than my normal flight anxiety, but yeah. I tried to rationalize it.
But you knew.
I did. And then I went with it. I went with it the rest of the way and, you know, got some cars. But
you probably would still be in Chicago.
You're probably right. I probably would be getting home about now. And I was just so happy just to be driving back into here because it was like, oh, okay, that was fun. But, good times. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Crows are interesting birds. Crows are very, very skilled birds. And that may sound crazy, but it's true. If you do any research about crows, there's a theme park, I believe, in France that uses, I don't know if it's crows or another type of bird that's very similar to them to pick up cigarette butts. They're guard crows almost. Like they hang out in the trees at this theme park and they're trained to pick up the garbage around the park. And that's what they do. It's an interesting thing. I heard an interesting argument the other day and it was like, this is not a half fucking bad idea. It came from Adam Carolla on his podcast, and they were talking about, and I'm not trying to get political by any means here, but I thought this wasn't a half bad idea, was attack crows, where you have them like in the rafters of like, let's say a big box store or something. And then they're trained to spot someone if they go in there with a weapon of some sort. And then you have like three or four that just swoosh down on anyone that they see that's carrying, you know, something they shouldn't be carrying into the store. And boom, they're disoriented. They're taken down, you know, right away, or at least enough time to get somebody to restrain them if you have attack crows. And it could probably be done.
Attack crows would freak me out.
But they're all, but you know, other than
you
that,
you weren't expecting it because they're bigger than what you think they're going to be.
Yeah.
And they're big birds.
They're
and if you
mean.
Get four of them attack you at the same time,
yeah,
I would take you down.
They are mean and they are relentless. and you have some attack crows at the top of, you know, Walmart or something, holy shit. I mean, it would be, you know, I don't know. I mean, there's obviously many other things that need to be done, but attack crows, I've heard crazier ideas.
And you can teach them to pick up cigarette butts, and I don't know how you teach them to do that.
They can be taught. They can be taught to do so many different things. They know how to use tools. This sounds insane, I know, but do a little, just look up crows. But they are extremely intelligent, and I believe that they're one of the, they can actually, some sort of deductive reasoning they can do as well. And I don't have all the interesting facts in front of me, but it's like, holy shit, like these are like scarily intelligent birds. And it's just, you know, if they ever wanted to, like, just make a coup on people, they could fucking take over the world. And we'd all be like just hiding in holes in the ground trying to avoid the crows.
Because I would be kind. They would love me.
Yeah, because they...
It's just Carol, guys.
No, I don't think they like anything that's not a crow. So there you go. That's the premise of a new horror movie. Crows that just... They say, all right... It's just been long enough where you people have been down there. You've been fucking it up too long. It's time for us up here. You're done. And they all just,
Crows, they hate all y'all.
They do. The crows have a certain, a lot of anger. Lots of anger in those crows. What the lifespan is of a crow? Like once you train it, how long? I don't know. I'm going to look that up in the next call. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, Tony. This is Donovan. I was calling. I love the show, by the way. I found it probably a couple months ago. I really love Grave Talks. I'm a gravekeeper there. Considering being an EPP, just really love everything that you guys are doing. I guess my story is my kind of first ever experience when I was in college. It was a couple years ago. I've always been interested in the paranormal, but I never really had anything occur or happen. In this one sense, I used to always watch the shows when I was a little kid, and it used to scare the crap out of me. And I always thought it was interesting. And finally, I was studying with one of my classmates in college, and I was watching a documentary when he got back about a haunted location, and he told me that he knew someone that was a part of a ghost team that they went out to places and invited me to come down one afternoon. So me being incredibly excited thought, why the hell not? I might as well. It'll be fun, and either way I could get a thrill even if nothing happens. We went on this, so we ended up going, we went to different locations, and nothing was really happening until, we went to one location. We would sit around, you know, do EVP recordings, but we weren't really getting anything. I'm a skeptic, you know, personally, but I'm a skeptic, but I want to believe, like, I want something to happen. I still believe deep down, but, you know, I always get those immediate thoughts of, oh, there's a reason why these sounds are happening or why this. Unless I see something or hear a definite voice, it's kind of hard for me to kind of rationalize it. But this experience I can't really put together. So we went to it was our last stop. I think it was like 2 a.m. We went to a graveyard, and we were doing another EVP session. And I could just feel kind of a heaviness in general when we went to this location. They told me that recently, I guess, someone was there and destroyed a gravestone, which is an atrocious act to do. But they said that they had found this gravestone destroyed almost with a sledgehammer, and they said that they had caught EVPs there. So we went there, and we got there, and like I said, I just felt this heaviness, and we were there and doing EVPs, and all of a sudden I started feeling incredibly cold, But it was my right. It was my right arm. It seemed to feel almost heavier. I don't want to say like someone was necessarily pulling or pushing on it, but it kind of felt that way. It was heavy and it was definitely colder. We had a thermal that we they took out, and it was substantially colder. I believe it was about 9 or 10 degrees colder. I had a jacket on, and we did both my skin and my jacket, and there was still that large temperature drop from my left arm to my right arm. And then all of a sudden, a feeling of just immense sorrow came upon me. My eyes started watering. I was almost getting choked up for no reason. I was getting so saddened for no reason. There was another person that was with me started feeling the same thing, but it must have affected her more, because she actually started bawling and saying that she felt someone holding her hand, and she said she just started crying for no reason, and it was an odd experience. I said that coldness of my arm and just that sorrow that seemed to go through me. I had never felt that way before. You know, I've heard of people being sensitive, but again, this was my first experience. I've been hooked. I've gone since with the same group, and I've just been hooked on it. And I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on what it could maybe be, or of the event. I don't claim to be sensitive. I just thought that it was odd, and maybe I was just, I would feel that I may be just lucky enough to have experienced that, for something like that to happen to me, let alone my first time. So, yeah, that's my experience. I've had other experiences in the future, and we definitely want to go and try and investigate that location again. So I will definitely keep you updated on what we learn. But again, Tony, I love the show. You guys are great. You know, you guys keep it, you know, funny. You have your jokes. You're not completely serious. And I just love everything about the show, guys. Please keep it up. I absolutely love it.
Thanks for sharing your experience with us. What's your thoughts?
You know, I like the fact that he doesn't just buy into everything and kind of is the guy who debunks it.
Yeah.
And what's the reason for that? And I totally think everyone should go about it like that. I think a lot of times it's easy to rush to, that was a ghost.
Sure.
Well, maybe not.
Or a demon.
But in that experience, I mean, I certainly think it could be something, but it also, I think, could be because you're in a really, really creepy situation.
Sure.
And that maybe, like, my adrenaline would kick in. Like, I think I would start feeling anxious and things. But the fact that he didn't necessarily feel that, he felt this sorrow and this more of an emotion, mm-hmm. rather than a physical response to it. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
The emotional reaction is the telling part to me that makes me kind of go, I think there's something more here than just, you know, just, oh, you're in a weird location and you're feeling that way. Just to be picking up on these emotions that don't really correlate to what he should be necessarily logically feeling if he's anxious or something about being there. That's what kind of makes it a little more, you know, like there's something else going on. So,
and he's done it since, mm-hmm. and hasn't had that happen to him.
Yeah. I think he's probably more sensitive than he realizes, or he's just beginning to understand that whole part of him, because it's something that, you know, sometimes I think we have that ability, and until we really kind of sit down and go, okay, what is this, you know, that I have this ability, and understand that not everybody has that is kind of unique, to really get a grasp on what's going on there. Thanks for sharing.
You got to put yourself in a situation where, you know, you could experience it. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, if he's in the middle of Walmart, on a Saturday afternoon, chances are he's not going to have that same kind of experience.
Depends the aisle.
But 2 in the morning at a cemetery makes some sense to me.
Just depends the aisle that you're in, you know.
Well, that's true. Or the Walmart. Yeah. Although 2 in the morning at a Walmart, I would feel intense sorrow.
You never know.
For the fact that I'm in a Walmart at 2 a.m.
That's probably the best time to go to a Walmart because it's less busy and the whole, for the most part, I would think it would be. I remember when I worked late in radio.
No, that's when all the, I don't want to be rude, but there's some really creepy people in Walmarts at that time.
The unsavory characters show up.
The undead ones.
Yeah. Have you been to Walmart during the day? I mean... I don't know.
There really are zombies.
Yeah.
I see them at Walmart at 2 a.m.
It's real. 855-853-4802. I tell you what, put some fucking crows in there. Problem solved. Here we go. Crows are extremely intelligent birds. They're known for their problem-solving skills and amazing communication skills. For example, when a crow encounters a mean human, it will teach the other crows how to identify the human. In fact, research shows that crows don't forget a face. Remember that shit. Many times, crows are a solitary bird, but they will often forage in groups. Others stay in large groups. A group of crows is called a murder. When one crow dies, get this shit. This is interesting. Crows are like ceremonial. When one crow dies, the murder will surround the deceased bird. This funeral isn't just to mourn the dead, though. The crows gather together to find out what killed the bird. So they're like doing an autopsy. Then the murder of crows will band together and chase predators in a behavior called mobbing. When some crow species, the yearlings and non-mating adults, live in a group called a roosting community. I have seen crows doing this shit with a dead crow once. And I was like, are they like having a funeral for their friend? Like one's just like dead in the road and there's like these crows in a circle standing around. It is the weirdest thing you will see. And
why is it a murder of crows? That's so weird to me.
Some crows will migrate while other crows don't migrate. They will travel to warmer areas and territory. So there you go. I mean, just, you know, they're creepily intelligent and yeah, they do autopsies. Birds. I mean, if I would have said this shit to you at the beginning of the show and goes, hey, crows, they do autopsies on one another, you'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's like, no, really, they do. But yeah, there you go. There's your crow knowledge for the day. And it makes you think twice. Next time you're going for a walk with a dog and you look up and there's a crow watching you. Yeah.
And you know, everybody is going to get online or get out their phone and mm-hmm. Google this.
Real.
Everybody's going to not take your word for it.
I am not making this shit up. I am not making this.
I'm gonna see what's on my phone.
It just skills of crows is what I typed into Google. And there you go. I mean, Live Science was the source on that. There's probably many other. I know. It's creepy. There's a kind of like a dinosaur bird that has all these years of intelligence, you know, that have just been, yeah, there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Lots of people listening at dark here as I go to bed. So it's going to be a night for dreaming of the birds. Enjoy, everybody. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Become an EPP extra podcast person. GhostPodcast.com or Patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories. Good night.